driving through the mountain. It was a mountainous area he was driving through. And he was going through a time in his life. And he was needing an answer. He was needing something. And he turned on a Christian radio station. And as he was driving, he knew that this is it. This is what I need. I want to hear this message. And as the message began to unfold, the Holy Spirit began to minister and hit on point to the things that he was wondering, asking, searching for, and needing. And as he was driving up through the mountains, he turned to the right because the road swayed and the signal went out. And he wanted that message, and the road swayed back the other way, and the message came back in. And he was going up the mountain, and the signal began to come in, but then the road dipped, and it went down. And as his life went down, the message that he was hearing went down. And as he began to go up, the message was going in and out. The thing that he needed to hear the most in that moment, it was twisting and turning roads, all these different things he was going through. The message was going in and out, and he knows, I'm at a point where I've got to hear this message. I really need to hear what is happening in this message. So finally, he got frustrated with the signal going in and out. He got so frustrated with the radio station. He drove up into the mountain, went on to a high place, and then he stopped, put it in park, and the signal came in. He quieted himself, and he listened to that message, and the Holy Spirit was speaking deep into his heart. And it was a life-saving message that he needed to hear. It was important at that moment. Well, as he began to ponder, he began to realize something else had hit him in the midst of that, that the radio signal had been broadcasting all the time. And it wasn't the fault of the station. Even though he was frustrated with the station, it wasn't the fault of the one projecting the signal. But he knew with all the twists and the turns and the downturns and all the things that were maneuvering his driving around, that was the reason why the signal was that was in and out. So today we're going to be talking about the signal. We're going to be looking at the scriptures, and we're going to be talking about the signal that the Lord has for us in life. Let me just pull this up here. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. So turn with me in your Bible to John chapter 27. And we're going to look at the Word of God today. And the Bible says, this is Jesus talking. He said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." So my sheep hear my voice. So he's not saying that some of them do, some of them don't. He's saying that perhaps they might, they have the potential to. He's saying, "My sheep hear my voice." And if you go into the original meaning of that word "hear" in the Greek, the scholars, they tell us that it's to be endowed with the faculty of hearing, and to be in the state of hearing. So what exactly does that mean right here, to be endowed in the state of hearing? Now, I have here that endowment. And you've been made with an ear over your heart. It's just how you've been created. It's just what you, so to speak, look like in the spirit. There's an obvious place inside of you that has been designed and built in order to hear. That was a big priority, I believe, when God was making you, is he made you with a big ear. Aren't you glad you don't have one ear like this and the other ear like that? Or do you? Do I? Is one of our ears bigger, one of our ears smaller? Do we hear sometimes and not another? We're going to explore all this because in that original, it talks about the state of hearing. So you could be in a state of fear where all the time, 24/7, you're walking around in this state of fear. Perhaps those that are going in world conflict countries and countries where there's war going on, maybe they're walking around in a state of fear. But in the original here, the Bible says that you are walking in a state of hearing. That's the way God has made you to be, is to go in a state of hearing. And you've been built and designed and constructed in order to hear the word of God. Now, newer houses, they are designed, many of them, with cable going through the walls. And they were designed so the internet would go through the walls and you'd be able to plug it in on different floors. That's the way the designer made it, was to be able to be wired internet going through the house. Now, you have been designed with a connection in order to hear the Lord. That's your function. And I'm laboring this point because it is a very, very important point. That is how you are made to hear. So the Bible goes on and it says that in Revelation 2:7, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. So we're going to look at this a little bit differently, because the hearing that we have is actually over our hearts. So I believe that in the Spirit, there's an ear that's been placed over your heart, and you're walking around right now in the Spirit with an ear that has been built inside of you. Why? Because God is a speaking God. When he says that my sheep know my voice, that means that I'm talking. I'm talking and they're hearing my voice. And as we look all the way through the Bible, we see that God would call them out, and they were designed with an ear to hear. Moses in the desert, the ear that God had gave him, he spoke to that ear. And Abraham, when he said to go in this direction, he was designed by God in order to hear his voice. And there's something powerful, because God is a God that places great emphasis on the things that he says. He places great emphasis even on the spoken word, and he's taken all this time to canonize scripture, to put it in the written word. He's a God that desires to speak and to have relationship. So in Revelation 2:7, the verse that we just read, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. The original sense of that word of hear is to listen or pay close attention to. So he's saying, listen, there's something even where you're and you and I are called into a place where he instructs us, listen, tune your ear to me. You've got to do something in order to hear. I've placed this ear on your heart so that you're in a constant state of being able to hear. You could go this way and the ear is there. You could go this way and the ear is there. It doesn't matter where you go, what you go through, you're in a state of hearing. That's the way God has created it to be. You might be sound asleep at night and you can hear something go bang and you wake up, but you were tuned right out, but the noise woke you up, because the ear functions all the time, even that God has made us with these natural ears. Your spiritual ear is made to function all the time. Why? Because God places an importance on hearing. I'm a speaking God. I'm a relational God. I desire to communicate. That's what separates us from the animals. It separates us from the rest of creation, is the language that we have, and a superior intelligence, deeper relational abilities through speech and all these different things. We're created in the image of God, and God is a relational speaking God, and he desires even that for us. So in that original sense, listen or pay close attention to, there's something very deliberate in that realm of hearing. There has something in our Christian experience to be a choice, even something that we do, and that is to pay attention. It is to be deliberate. It is to be in a place where we can hear the Lord. That's what he desires. And that sense of hearing in Deuteronomy 6:4, the Bible says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And that word hear in that particular verse, in the original, it means to hear, listen, to obey. So it means to that the true meaning of hearing is to obey. So I want to say that when we're in a place with the Lord where he knows that our heart is in a place where we're willing to obey, that opens up the ear gate in a great way. If we're at a place where we don't want to obey, that shuts down that sense of hearing and it closes things down. But when we open up our hearts and we know that we are willing to obey, we're going to say, yes, Lord, that opens up the ear gate and God is able to speak and we're able to hear more even in that moment. Now, recently, the Lord's been drawing me into, we pray all the time on Zoom and so forth. And lately, I've been hearing him and he's been calling me and confirming it to increase my time with him and to have that place with him. And so I began to, you know, wake up earlier and I began to press in. Because we have to position ourselves in order to hear the Lord, it is a very deliberate thing. Sometimes my wife and I were on different schedules and occasionally we'll say, let's go out for dinner, and it's just the two of us. And so at that moment, we positioned ourselves so that we could talk with each other. Because if she's overdoing something there and I'm doing something there, we're not positioning ourselves for communication and relationship. So there's something very important in your Christian life right now, where you're at, where you're going, to position yourself with the Lord and to bring yourself, set yourself up to that place of hearing the Lord. There's something very strategic and important for those that would do that. Now, we have summer camp coming up. And this thing, if you haven't been, you need to be here. It is phenomenal. All the speakers are excellent. They're all prophetic. We know them. They're walking with the Lord. And some of the amazing gifts that come out, even in the midst of it, and we see Daniel Soto, and we see Lucy Riel, and Lucy Riel has been called, and she spends nightly in prayer, I don't know, from like 1 in the morning till 6 in the morning, give or take, I don't know the exact hours, but she hears from the Lord. Why? Because she has positioned herself to hear. She's made it something very deliberate. Does that mean that she's special and a super saint? No. It means that she has said, yes, I'm willing to position myself. I'm willing to set myself up so that I can activate this thing, God, that you placed inside of me, this ability to hear. And she spends that time with the Lord. And she will be in the service and she'll call out people's names that she's never met. She might call out phone numbers. It's just incredible because she hears from the Lord and God desires to speak in such an intimate way. And these are the things that we're going to be seeing in summer camp. We're going to see the fruit of those that hear the Lord. We're going to see the fruit of those that have set themselves aside and deliberately decide, I want to hear your voice, God. And we see what God can do. God brings people by this way to say there's more. He brings people by this way to say don't settle for where you're at. He brings people by this way even in the gifts of the Spirit, and the Word of God comes with rich revelation upon it, and the anointing of the Lord falls in summer camp in order to draw us to that place, in order to woo us to that place, in order to bring us into a deeper place and a greater depth. There's something about where we deliberately set ourselves up in a place in order to hear the Lord. And when we have that attitude that I'm going to obey. Now, the Lord spoke to me recently, and he was telling me, I want you to set aside personal time. We pray in a group a lot. But he's saying, I want you to set aside personal time. So I began to do that with the intent of listening and opening my heart. There was a sense of expectation, a sense that I wanted to obey. And man, the things that God has been speaking to me has been changing my life. If I hadn't have done that, I scared to think where I have been if I had not been obedient to the Lord when he said, set the time even apart, and I've been continuing to do that, and I find that he's changing me. He's doing something. There's something profound when the Lord speaks to you. Why? Because when he speaks to you, it's not just information. No, he is a all-encompassing God. He made you a spirit, soul, and body, and when he speaks, it'll go through your whole system. When Peter was with the Lord, Peter had heard from the Lord, and he said that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Peter, or Jesus said, you're right, Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but it was my Father in heaven. Peter heard the word of the Lord, and it came in a way of revelation. And when you hear from God, it will come in a way of revelation. It will come in a way that will change you. It will come in a way that will alter the way you live. It'll alter the way you feel. I've been hearing from the Lord in the past number. I'm in different ways, but pressing in this season, because it's a season where he's calling me in, and I can see him doing healing in my heart, even when I've been listening to him, the way that he speaks and the things he's touching. There's truth being revealed even personally as I'm spending time with him. And he says what he said, you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. When you hear from the Lord and there's a revelatory anointing upon it, that truth goes down inside of you. It goes first of all into your spirit, and then your mind interprets it, and it may affect your emotions. You're a whole being, and there's something very profound that happens by hearing his voice. It changes you. The Bible said he spoke his word and healed him. God will speak to you. Maybe you're going through things where you know you're stuck, and maybe you know you're down, and maybe you know you're depressed, and maybe you're thinking, is that all there is to life right now? Does it get any better than this? It does get way better when we position ourselves to hear. He said that he is a mighty God, a counselor, a prince of peace. Man, he's been counseling me in different ways and speaking to ways inside of my heart that I need to hear. And man, it's been setting me free. It's been changing me. It's been rearranging me. The other night I was going to bed, and there was a situation on my heart. And it was a situation, to be honest with you, was taking away my peace. I'd allowed it to do that. And I was stretched. I was in that place where I was worried about it. And then I pulled up some scripture and I thought, you know what? Psalm 36, verse 7, I believe it says, and it says, how precious is your loving kindness, O God. Then it says, the children of mankind take refuge in the shadow of your wings. So that word precious, it actually means rare, foreign. It's almost like it's another language. It's another country. It's foreign. So God's love is foreign to anything like what we know on planet Earth. How precious it is, like a precious, precious metal. It's foreign to any love. You may have had a parent that loves you. You may have been with somebody that has treated you well, but that pales in comparison to the Lord. And so as I read that scripture and I close my eyes and God speaks to me in visions, it's just the way that he's designed me. He designed you in ways that you hear. He knows what he's called you to be and what he wants you to do. All I know is however that ear manifests, you've got it. You don't have to try to perform to get it. No, you've got it. You've been made that way. Your car, when you put the key in the ignition, that thing's designed to turn over, put it in drive, and go. That's the way that it is made, and you are designed to hear the word of the Lord and to have relationship with him when you're functioning at your best, and when life is even that is most fulfilling. It's when you're in relationship with the Lord, an active back and forth relationship, and you're hearing from him, and the things of the world, they won't satisfy you. They'll be dangled in front of you that, oh yes, they'll satisfy. The things of the world will say, you gotta go after this, you've gotta go after that, this is where you're gonna find your satisfaction. But the devil laughs, the word of the flesh laughs, and it's even that is nothing but a mockery now. The only thing that will satisfy is when you hear the word of the Lord and are in relationship with him in a deep way. He's a good God. He's a good God. So as I closed my eyes and I was at that place and I began to just focus, I set myself up to a place of hearing, and I was waiting on the Lord. And as I said, he speaks to me in visions, and I don't know why he gave me what he gave me, but I saw this plain, almost like a desert plain, and there was a mountain that went up, and there was a sheep that was lifted up above the desert plain. And even though it was kind of like deserty like territory, this sheep was eating and eating and eating. But the sense was great safety. He imparted that sense in the spirit. Again, he'll speak through your spirit. It'll hit your mind. It'll come out your emotions. And he'll anoint all those areas of your life with that spoken word. And I could feel the sense of safety. I knew that I was the sheep and I was lifted up in a safe place. And the predators that were down below, I was up in a safe place. And I was eating, I was feasting, and as I heard his voice and I was reading his word, I was feasting on the only thing that would satisfy on that kind of level, the word of God. Well, in that moment, I opened up my eyes, and my life was at a place of peace. Why? Because there was an impartation of security became a part of me. Before that, I was feeling insecure. But when I felt and I heard and I saw and he spoke, there was a download of security. Mark, man, I went to bed and I slept like a baby. I slept like a baby and I didn't get up and cry in the middle of the night. I slept through the night. It was a wonderful thing. And I woke up hours later having had peace in my soul. So there's something wonderful that he has for you. There's something amazing as a counselor. There's something wonderful as one that desires to impart to you. Whatever you need, I'm beginning to know even in a deeper way that he will channel his voice toward you. He'll run up after you. Why? Because he says that two things are following you. Two things. Goodness and mercy. Both of those things are following you all the days of your life, and he's a speaking God. And I think it was Isaiah, he talks about you'll hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. He's a guiding God. He's a speaking God. He's with you, and he brings you to that place of security and that place of safety. One of the things I feel like the Lord's been speaking to me, and there's all kinds of scripture to substantiate it, is the sense of God being in control. Recently, I was in faith, and then I was like Peter. I took my eyes off, and I began to go down. And I had this vision, and the water was here, and now I'm in the water, and I could see it so plainly. But then I had another vision, and then I saw the Lord standing above the water. And then I was going down because I took my eyes off him in that moment. I was going down, but he was in control of the whole thing. I may have felt like I was sinking. I may have felt like, oh man, this is just not working out. But the end of the day, he was in control in the midst of it. Why? Because he's a good God. He's a loving parent. He's in control much more than what we could ask or think. He's not controlling like a puppet, even with strings. I'm not talking about that, but the things that are bigger than you, the things that are beyond you, the people that are around you, God has even got you in the palm of his hand that nobody would pluck you out, and the devil roars and the devil says, I'm going to pluck you out, you're going down, you're not going to make it, this thing is going up over your head, it's not going to work out, but the Lord says, no, I see you in the water and I'm reaching out and I'm pulling you above the water because he is a good God. When you hear his voice, Isaiah 50 verses 4 to 5, the Bible says, the Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word, him who is weary. And then it goes on, and that's in verse 4 and 5 of Isaiah 50. Morning by morning he awakens. Now listen to this. He awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I turned not backward. There's a lot going on in that scripture. So we see that God awakens the ear. When you're a place where you don't know the Lord, you do not hear him. You're spiritually dead. These ears are plugged. They are spiritually dead. But he awakens your ear in order for you to hear. And he says, follow me. And you make a choice to follow him. You become a Christian by even him calling you. And you're saying, I'm not going to be rebellious. I'm going to go forward and walk with you. And that's the way that it works, that same pattern in our life. He speaks to us, and we have a choice whether we're going to be rebellious or whether we're going to be one that is compliant to his will. But these two sentences that I highlighted, he awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. When he speaks to you, it will speak more than just words. He'll imprint something in your spirit. He'll download an understanding to you. It's the anointing that teaches us. And when he speaks something so deep inside of you, you have revelation and you just know. You know by revelation. Peter says, you're the Son of God. And he said, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you. That's my Father in heaven that gave it to you. It's the same way when you hear from the Lord, revelation comes and you're like one who has been taught. He's not speaking just because he feels like speaking. No, he's a God of plan and purpose. When he speaks, he wants to download something in you. He wants to calm the storm in your mind. He wants to heal the wound that you're carrying even in your heart. He wants to give wisdom in your situation. He's a speaking God so that you and I would be like ones that are taught. He teaches in the midst of saying different things. He's a speaking God. One time many years ago, going through a huge struggle, so much fear and worry, and the Lord just spoke to my heart and he said, you worry about many things. That's all he said. And at that moment, the peace began to settle in. He wasn't slapping me, you rotten thing, you're worrying, you're not trusting me, look at you. But oftentimes we see God like that. We misunderstand who he is. He's not slapping you, he's teaching you, he's mentoring you, he's drawing you. It's a teachable moment. Yes, there was a rebuke, but man, the voice came with love. His voice always comes in love. You're not going to hear a more loving voice. You're not going to hear a more sensitive voice. Even if he's stern, it's in love. Even if it's stern, you need to be rebuked, it's in kindness. When I've heard his voice, it's so kind. When I've heard his voice, it's foreign. Nobody speaks in a voice like his voice, like that word says in the original, how precious, how foreign is your, and it's speaking about his love, his chesed. It's his love, which is his nature. Chesed in the original Hebrew, it's a strong, constant, loyal, covenant love. He's loyal to you. He's in covenant with you. He said, I'm going to be a father to you. And he's made that covenant. So even when you do the things that you're not proud of, he says that I'm going to work with you at this time. See, the danger is when we fall short, when we sin, when we go astray, and we think that at that moment that we're canceled out. No, he'll walk with you in that moment, and he'll speak with you in that moment. David, when he went through all the things that he went through, man, he was a man that was imperfect. He was a man that was very imperfect, but he had a perfect heart toward God. It was a heart that wanted to hear God. He would position himself to hear God. He would fast. He would lie prostrate. He would get still before the Lord in order to hear God. And God says he is a man after God's own heart. A man after God's own heart doesn't mean we walk in perfection. We grow in maturity. But it means that we always go back to the Lord. We go back in repentance. We position ourselves. We open up our hearts in order to walk with him and to hear the Lord. There's something very, very necessary in order for you to really be happy, in order for you to really enjoy who you are and where you're at. There's something very necessary, and that is to hear the word of the Lord. Your identity changes when he speaks to you. He will impart identity when he speaks to you. Well, when Abraham was hearing God, his name wasn't Abraham, it was Abram. And God changed his name to Abraham. When God speaks to you, he'll change you in the midst of his voice. You might be struggling with pain. You might be struggling with frustration. You might be struggling with all kinds of things. But when you hear from him, he changes your identity. Your identity becomes changed like nothing else will. This tablet will not change my identity, but the Holy Spirit will. The call that's upon your life comes even as we hear the word of the Lord. The call that's upon your life is that comes when we are hearing the word of God even for our lives. He'll give you a vision of where you're going. He'll speak to you. And that becomes even in Psalm 23 when he talks about his rod and his staff is guiding us. That word that he speaks to you is a gentle rod. It's not a whacking you stupid sheep. Get out of here. It's not that. No, it's a gentle guiding. It's a loving guiding. It's to prevent that sheep from getting hurt. It's to move that sheep to green pastures. It's to keep the sheep safe. It's to keep the sheep healthy. There's something about the word of the Lord in relationship with God, the spoken word, where he leads us and guides us and brings us into our destiny call. He's a good God. Isaiah 55 verses 2 and 3, the Bible says, "Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me." Again, listen carefully to me and eat what is good. And now watch the fruit of that, because he's talking about an action. It's a verb. Listen. Listen carefully. Some of you parents have probably said that 29 times. Listen to me. You're talking to your kids. You've said it over and over again. God is saying, listen with a voice of love. And then it's an active thing. Listen. Listen. It's a verb. Listen. And there's a fruit that comes out of it. What is the fruit? Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And even before that, it says, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. So when we speak and we quiet ourselves and we're talking to the Lord, and then we get quiet before him, we begin to listen, we're still before him. His intent is to delight your soul. To eat the bread that can only come from him. When he speaks to me, my soul delights. It changes my mood. It changes my thoughts. It changes what I feel. There's something where he is a good God and desires to delight your soul. Delight it with peace. Delight it with security. Delight it with direction. Delight it with wisdom. Delight it with encouragement. Man, I find that he is encouraging. Well, when he speaks to me, he's encouraging. I feel encouraged, but I also feel like I've eaten something. It talks about, why are you spending your money on that which isn't bread? Okay, we're spending our money on all different things that isn't bread. We're spending our money on this, and then we're hearing. we're hearing, and it never really ever satisfies. Oh, it will addict you. Oh, it will entertain you. Oh, it will distract you. Oh, it will move you off course. Oh, it will hinder even the progress, even of the call of God on your life. There's something about where we tune our hearing to. We will not find that this will delight our soul. Not the way God's chesed, his spoken love to you, the very precious place that you have in his heart is what he desires to build and to birth it inside of you. There has been such a war that is going on in this hour in order for the people of God to be distracted away from hearing the word of the Lord. There has been a war that has been set up. There has been even spirits that have been leashed, spirits of distraction, spirits of depression and spirits of doubt and spirits of unbelief. That's why the Bible says you have to fight the good fight of faith, because when you hear the Lord, you hear him through the setting up of faith. One of the ways to position yourself is through faith. God, I'm going to believe from you. A little while ago, I was saying with a friend in a text, I'm going to hear goodness. I'm going to hear love. I'm going to hear kindness. And I was speaking these types of things out in a text. Why? Because those are words of faith. And when we hear the word of the Lord, it comes when we're in faith to hear, and we're setting ourselves up, we're positioning ourselves in order to hear the word of the Lord, that our soul might live and we might eat the richest of food that will only satisfy down here. Now, I see people in the world and all around, and they're trying to get that satisfied, and they're eating all kinds of different things. Man, I'm going to work and work and work, and I'm going to get so much money. I'm going to give all my time. I'm going to give all my effort. I'm going to buy a big house. I'm going to get a Mercedes. I'm going to get a trip, two trips. I'm going to Europe and then Japan. I'm going to delight myself with the richest of food, and at the end of the day, the things of the world, they just won't satisfy. And I'm not saying you can't have a good house or a nice car. No, God wants to bless us. But when we place these things ahead of where they need to be, there's something that takes away and it detracts and it actually rips you off. It actually rips you off. When you bite the apple of the world, it'll bring you down spiritually. When you bite the apple of the world, you'll become very hungry in a way that will make your flesh so active. You'll do things that you never thought you would do or never want to admit that you have done. When you're even wanting to feed on the things of the flesh, and man, pornography says, come this way, I'll feed you. And you begin to click on those sites and you begin to go in that realm. It's a lie of the devil now in order to pull you down and to even bring about even that's like a blockage. Sin will block us from hearing the Lord. Walking in the ways of the flesh. Now, you could imagine if there was a big throne sitting up on the stage, and then a kingly-like feature walks in with a long flowing purple robe at the back. King Self, that's what they call me, King Self. And Self begins to sit down, I'm the boss, I'm going to do it my way, I'm going to rule and reign. That's what the enemy tries to lure us into. I'm going to walk in my own thoughts. I'm going to do it my way. My plan's going to benefit me, not God's plan. I'm King Self, and I'm the one dictating, and I'm the one calling the shots. I'm the one who's the boss. I'm the one that's in control. And you're like Lucifer in a place of rebellion. You and I, if we're moving in that realm where King Self is on the throne, it's tantamount to the rebellion of Lucifer in heaven, and it's a mockery toward God. It's a mockery. I know better than you. I'll be like God. I'll give my own destiny. I'll plan my own plan. I'll make my own friends. I'll do it all my way. There's something where the enemy rubs his grimy little paws when you come to that place of being even where King Self is ruling and reigning. He knows where even he can attack you, and that's through the realm of the flesh. When King Self is on the throne, the enemy can just rope-a-dope you. He's got an open door, man. You've just opened up the door. I've opened up the door, and he begins to just go at you one after another, and it never satisfies. It never satisfies. It never satisfies. At the end of the day, you come up empty and you come up wanting, and there's something that's missing all the time in it when Self is on the throne. There's something about positioning ourselves and hearing the word of the Lord. So what we're going to do is as we wind around here, we want to develop our hearing. So how do we develop this? What are we going to do? We've heard that God wants to speak. He'll bless us. He'll just do something inside of you that will be the richest of food inside of your heart, your emotions, your mind. He'll just be so wonderful to you when he speaks in a voice of love. So number one is Psalm 46:10, create a space for stillness. Create that space. Be deliberate and create that space. Oh, I know that. Then why aren't you doing it? Oh, I already know that. No, you don't, because if you knew it, you'd be doing it. We can say that we know it, but do we know it? There's something about our action to describe what we really believe. Oh, I know that I need a safe place, but I've got to make some texts right now. Oh, I know that I'm going to spend time with the Lord today, but just a little bit of social media, just a little bit. I'm going to spend time with the Lord today. Oh, let me find out the news. There's something about what we do determines what we really, really believe. So, number one, create a space for stillness. Number two, immerse yourself in Scripture. I remember seeing Dennis over here. He's my friend from Uganda, and we're at lunch in the Kingsway, and all this stuff, it was lunchtime, all these people around, and he pulls out his Bible. Why? Because he was wanting to immerse himself in Scripture. As we immerse ourselves, you can't really hear God unless you know his word, because when we hear him, we have to decide, does this line up with the word of God? And it creates an atmosphere in the spirit in order for us to hear God when we immerse ourselves in the word. When you become pickled with the word of God. You know when you get pickles and you put them in the vinegar and then the water and the salt, you let those bad boys marinate, then there's a flavor. Well, when we become pickled in the word, there's a flavor that begins to come out of us. And it's that flavor of God, and it's that fruit of the spirit. So number two, immerse yourself in the word. Jeremiah 33:3, it says, call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you don't know. So expect to hear from God. Expect to hear from him. I want to challenge you is immerse yourself in the word and then look at the scripture and say, God, will you please speak to me through this word? Learn to cultivate. Learn to put it into action. And when you do that, begin to write it down. Or I like putting the things that the Lord has given me just on an app, and then I put it, and then I'll look up things that pertain to what he's shown me so I can think about it. The Bible talks about that word in Psalms, Selah. It means take a minute, think about it. So if he speaks to you, line it up with his word, write it down, and think about it. Meditate on it. What's he saying to me? What is that mean? Build that thing. Take that thing for all it's worth. There have been times where I've heard from the Lord, wow, that's cool, and then let it go. And other times where I've dissected it, taken it apart, meditated on it, thought about it, mused it, muttered it under my breath, whatever the case is, and it begins to carry me through and it changes me on a deep way. So expect to hear from him. Write it down. Weigh your word with the Bible. Make sure it's scriptural. And then as that original word says, hear in the context of also obeying. The two are connected. Hear and obey. If he's speaking to you to forgive, forgive. If he's speaking to you to spend time with him, spend time with him. If he's speaking to you to go to church, go to church. There's something about when he speaks and we respond. If he's telling you to go to camp, don't say, I'll try. Usually when people say to me, I'll try, what that means is, well, I'm not so sure if I really want to do that. I'll try, like it's, you know, like there's this mountain that is like a crocodiles and you know, lions and bears, and you got a sword. And, yeah, I'll try. Oh, yeah, I got to get to church. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Oh, I'll try. And, oh, there's a lion. Come on. I'm talking about going to church. You know what I'm saying? I'll try. Yet there's something about setting yourself up to be blessed. There's something about setting yourself up to grow in the Lord. There's something about setting yourself up to hear his word and live, to be changed. There's something wonderful that he has for us. Okay, then as we segue down, as we head toward a landing, what are the hindrances now of hearing God? A hardened heart and sin will dull spiritual sensitivity. So a hardened heart and sin will put the finger in the ear and will begin to dull that thing down. So if we get bitter, if we get offended, if we get judgmental, if we get critical, and we begin to harden our heart, wow, he just disappointed me. Wow, she didn't do what I wanted. Wow, they aren't should be. They're not exactly the way I would do it. And we begin to judge and criticize, and the finger goes in the ear. And that's pride. All these things that I just mentioned, all it is pride. So that finger of pride goes in the ear, and we're living in that place of misery, in that place of self-righteous, where I'm good and you're bad, I'm the best and you're subservient, you're not like me, you're down there, I'm up here. That is the voice of pride, and it plugs a finger in the ear. What about a wrong picture from God? One time I was sitting and I was in worship and listening to the Lord. You know what he said to me? He says, I'm not your dad. That's what he said to me. And I'm not trying to dishonor my dad, but my dad was a wild man. He was angry. He was like really angry. You know, the things he would say, the meanness and all that, it affected how I related to God. And I was sitting there, and it was like he was standing. And he said so clearly, I'm not your dad. But I had to meditate on that. I had to let that become real and hang on to that. And let it be something that I use to fight my feelings. Because my feelings will say that, you know, God is distant. That's what my feelings will say. Because my dad was distant. My dad was emotionally distant. He grew up in a very rough life in Great Britain. Very, very, very rough life. He became emotionally, you know, shut down. And he was very distant. And so the feelings that I had toward God is that he's distant. But he was saying to me that I'm not like your dad. And so when we fight the thoughts of the flesh, we have to actively fight those thoughts with truth. It doesn't come passively. No, it comes with a fight. Well, when you're pulling down a stronghold, if there's a structure that you want to pull down, like a house of thoughts, and you want to pull it down, man, they'll get a big dozer in there, and they'll pull that thing down. They'll get people with sledgehammers, and they'll whack that thing down. It's the same thing in our thinking. It's a very active thing. It's a very real thing. It's a real battle. It takes an active, aggressive going at it with truth. Because when we live by our feelings and we just say, well, I feel it, so it must be true, then at that point, then the flesh is even given an advantage. And the devil is given an advantage. And that scripture where it talks about not giving the devil an advantage over us, it's speaking of an overreach. It's like, you know, he's no longer like this. But when we give an advantage, that then he has an overreach. And so as we're in that place of living by our feelings, it gives the enemy an overreach. I'll just put more feelings on her. That'll get her. I'll just tell her that she's not worth all that much. That'll get her. I'll just tell her that people don't really like her. That'll get her. And when we listen to those feelings, he gets an overreach, and he starts whacking away in your mind, and you become tense. And then it affects your actions. Oh, they don't really like me. I don't think I can go to church today. Oh, I'm just not as good as them. I'm not worthy of all this. I'm just not living this thing the way that I really need to be. And the enemy pummels you. God is willing to counsel you and walk with you through the season that you're in order to lift you up. He's willing, even if you're going through a bad season, like a really bad season where, oh man, if people knew where I was at season, he's there to counsel you. He's there to bring you up. He's there to bring you out of that pit. The prodigal son, man, like he was living with the pigs. You know what I mean? Like he probably stunk to high heaven. I went into a pig barn in Alberta. It's not a place where I want to be employed. That thing stinks. Oh, the air was almost, you could almost scoop it up and throw it on the ground. The air was so, pigs stink. And he was with the pigs. And sometimes when we're in sin and our life spiritually begins to stink, but the father went running toward this stinking son. I believe he stunk like crazy. I believe he smelled like pig poop, and it was awful. And it was, the father didn't run like this and say, here, go take a shower first, and then we'll talk. No, he ran after him, reaching out toward him, and he hugged him even in the midst of the stink. Even in the midst of the smell, even in the midst of everything the son had done wrong, he says, first of all, your position is my son and I love you. Your position is my daughter and I love you. That's the position of the Lord. But the enemy says, no, you've done too much. Nope. You're in God's bad books now. You're at the back of the book, under the bad section. That's you. That's where your name is signed. And I'm almost getting ready to rub your name out of Lamb's or Kalai. That's how the enemy will condemn. Any word that comes at you and brings condemnation, any word that brings depression, sadness, fear, worry, doubt. There's somebody with these figurative horns kind of speaking in the midst of that. That's the devil. That's the flesh. That's why we need to immerse ourselves in the Word. Because he says there's therefore now no condemnation. I mean, there's no eternal damnation for those that are truly born again. There's no condemnation. He paid that price. So there's something about even immersing ourselves and pickling ourselves in the Word of God, even in your worst moment. One last thing I'm going to share before I close. I was praying one time, and the Lord showed me two visions, and it's just the way he speaks. It's just like things that I wouldn't think of. But I saw somebody that was like in a hospital, or maybe older, and they had a walker, and maybe, you know, because I work in a hospital, and I saw them, you know, kind of struggling. And then I knew the Lord was there. There was a figure that was beside them, and in the midst of struggle, okay, in the midst of hardship, in the midst of pain, in the midst of a walk that wasn't glorious and wonderful at that moment, it was a slow go at that moment, the Lord was there. And the Lord is with you wherever you're at, whatever you're going through, he's there to support, to bring up, to bring you into a place of turning away from those things, to bring you to a place of repentance, not to cast you down, not to slap you around, not to condemn you. That's not God. And then I saw a second vision, and somebody was going out on a field, and it was a football field. And for those of you from Europe, football is the thing you throw, not the thing you kick. Just kidding. Anyways, he was on a football field, and this person was going out, so it was more of a victorious time and more of a triumphant time, and the Lord was there too. So what does that mean? He's with you in your highs. He's with you in your lows. He doesn't divorce you on the way down, and then, oh, you're good enough now. Okay, I'll talk. You know, I'll be with you now. No, he's with us through all of life's seasons. He's a good God. He's a good God. Hear his voice and live. Man, if you want to spend, you know, years going around that mountain, the devil will be happy, but it could be like a short journey into that promised land. Just turn to him, hear his voice, repent, get right with him, do whatever it takes. Let all that condemnation and guilt and shame and all the things that the enemy says, let that go. His blood covered it all, and position yourself again so that he's like the Father. Even if you smell like a pig, he'll come running in and he'll hug you and he'll hold you and swing you back and forth, and he's not saying, man, I don't want to hug her too long, she stinks. Man, I don't want to hug him too long, she stinks. No, he's saying, I'm going to hug you until it gets through to you. I'm going to hug you till it touches you down. I'm going to hug you till you're healed. I'm going to hug you till you're restored. I'm going to hug you till even there's a conversion that takes place in the deep part of your unbelief. I'm going to hold you. I'm going to hug you even in the midst of the smell, because I smell what I'm going to make you to be. I smell one that's able to be exceedingly abundantly above all that I could ask or think, because that's the power of the Holy Spirit working through his people. He's a good God. He's a triumphant God. He's an overcoming God. He's a good God. He's a good God. So I want to encourage you, capitalize on this week. Capitalize on it. Capitalize on it. You have this. You've been made with it. That's just the bottom line. This thing here is a brick. You can call it wood. You can call it water. You can call it anything you like, but it is a brick. You have been made to hear. That is the truth. That's what the scripture says in the original. It's just you've been endowed with the faculty of hearing. That's just how he's made you to be. It doesn't mean that you're the super saint. Doesn't mean you're better than anybody else. It means that's the way God has made you. And I want to encourage you this week is position yourself to hear. Write down the things, or put them in an app, or somehow get a hold of those things. Why? Because you're probably going to need those things later. I've got things down in an app and a different tablet, and I've gone back and reread. And when I've reread, it's like, oh, like this, that benefit comes off of that. The truth that lines up with his word. Oh, yeah, it's restructuring. We need to go over and over the things that God has given us in order that there's a change and a shift inside of us. Well, Father, we thank you, Lord, for the gift that you've given us. Lord, I thank you for the gift, Lord, of hearing. And Father, I'm asking, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you would lay your hand upon, Father, each and every one here. And Father, the one that, Father, knows that they've been in the pen, Father, with the pigs. Father, Lord, that you say, I desire to love you. I desire to speak with you. I want you to hear and live. Father, the one that's going after you, you say, I desire to hear for you to hear me. I desire for you to live. Father, you're a good God. And so, Father, Lord, as we repent, and anything that's in your heart or even in your life, even where we've blocked out God and we put a finger in the ear of God, maybe knowing that we want to be disobedient, maybe knowing that other things we placed ahead of him. I want to encourage you, now is the time, while there's still breath in your lungs, to get it right with him. Now is the time, while you're still breathing, when you're on this side of the soil, get it right with him now. Don't bring that thing even further in your life. Get it right now. Just repent and ask the Lord to forgive you. Ask the Lord to forgive you. Let him wash you. Let him cleanse you. Let him fill you. And Father, I pray, O God, that every demonic spirit, Lord, that has been released through disobedience, and every demonic spirit that's been released, Father God, spirits of mental torment, Father, I command these things to come all the way up now. Spirits of mental torment, you come all the way up. You come all the way out. Mental torment, you come off now. Mental torment, things that would bind the mind, things that would bring the mind down. I command you now, spirits of depression, sadness, sadness, depression, all the way up, all the way up, all the way up, all the way up. Stupor, spirit of stupor, even that would make you dull of hearing. I command that spirit to lift. I command it to go. I command it to come all the way up. Spirit of stupor, I command it to lift. I command it to go. Spirits of Rahab and Leviathan, I command it to lift now off the people of God now, all the way up and all the way out, all the way up and all the way out now. I command the thing like a coiling thing trying to squeeze life out of you. The thing that would coil around your heart, the thing that would coil around your mind, the thing that would would bring pain into your shoulders and back. I bind up that coiling spirit. I take authority over the spirit of stress and worry and fear and doubt and unbelief. I command those things to lift off now. I command you to lift off of God's people. I command you to come off them. Command you to come out of the building now. I command you to go in the mighty name and through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father, I pray that there would be a wave of your chesed that comes over your people, your strong, constant love. Let there be revelatory realms opening up right now. Father, let there be realms of revelation opening up now. Father, I pray, dear God, that revelation would sit, that revelation would be that's released. Oh God, let there be a marinating Holy Ghost spirit of chesed, Father, that strong, constant love. Father God, let your love, let it be even that just marinates over this place. Lift every burden now. Lift every care now. Lift every worry now. Lift every condemnation now. Father, I pray, dear God, that you would dust off, that you would wash off, that you would cleanse. And Father, I thank you that you welcome each one from the place wherever they've been. Father, you welcome them back right now, Father God, even into your presence. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are a good God. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name.